Turn to your Bibles, please, to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. We'll continue our study that we began last week on the subject of more. The title of the message today is Foundations of Faith. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12 is where we'll begin reading. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Verse 12 says, "Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, I praise You. I thank You, Lord, for the privilege that You've given me today to share Your Word. I pray, Lord, that You would speak through Your Word today. You knowing the needs of every heart, You know the ones who need to commit to You for salvation. You know the ones, Lord, who need comfort, encouragement, protection, provision. You know the ones who are experiencing health challenges. You know every need. And Lord, I pray that You, in Your glory, Your power, and Your wisdom, will touch each need that's present here so that when we leave, we may all leave knowing we have been in Your presence and that, Lord, our lives have been changed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. My granddaughter. Love my grandchildren. But I've got the youngest granddaughter. Ann Douglas is her name. And she learned, before she could ever speak, sign language for more, for the word more. She would stand, or she would be at the table and getting close to the end of her meal, and you would ask her, "Are you finished or do you want more?" She would go, for those of you who don't know, that means more. And it's much cuter when she does it, trust me. She would, if she wanted more, she'll do this, and she still will. Even though now she's picking up on the talking part, she says, "More," you know. Or if she's finished, she says, "Are you finished?" And she'll do this. But you don't have to concern yourself about understanding, does she want more or is she finished? So I consider where we are spiritually as Christians today, I fear that in Christianity in general, there are a lot of people who are going, "No, I don't want any more. This is good enough." But quite honestly, I'm the opposite. I'm all about more. I want more of Jesus. I want more of church. And I want more of the presence of God every day that I live. But I also have an understanding that if I'm going to have more, there's some things that I'm going to have to get in line or understand about my relationship with God. And number one is, I have been qualified to partake. Okay? I've been qualified to partake. There are many defeated, wounded Christians in the world today. There are many who have failed in their walk with God. And Satan has lied to them. He's convinced them that they are no longer worthy, that they're no good, that they'll never amount to anything spiritually speaking, that they just struggle along and live this poor, beaten up Christian life where there's no power, there's no promise, there's no joy, they're just sinners passing through, and they go through singing those old songs of, "Oh, woe is me, I've got it so bad." You know what I'm talking about? I'm getting to where I don't like the sad songs much anymore. Because it's an excuse to feel sorry for myself. You know, we got a bunch of those sad songs. I'm just, you know, I'm going through trouble and all. And that, wait. Who am I in Jesus Christ? This answers that question. Paul says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. I have been qualified. You know what that word qualified is? It means to make fit, to make adequate. That even though I have failures, even though I'm not adequate, through the blood of Jesus Christ, I have been made fit to have an inheritance in the kingdom of Almighty God. I have been made fit to be a partaker of the kingdom of God. There is a portion of God's kingdom that He has set aside just for me. Glory to God. There is life after this life, and it does get better when this life is done. I'm a partaker through the blood of Jesus Christ, a blood-bought heir of the kingdom of God. I love John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. I'm a reminder, you know, sometimes we get so wrapped up that this life is all that we can see. But in John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, it says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for who?" Oh, you weren't ready. I caught you off guard, didn't I? "I go to prepare a place for who? For you." Who's that? That's us as children of God. Now, mind you, I am talking about the saved. Okay, those who have placed their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That's good stuff. Not because this preacher's presenting it this morning, but because it's a promise straight out of the Word of God. Oh, yesterday I was... It kind of broke my heart and for the Roach family that I couldn't be here yesterday. I was preaching or doing a wedding for a niece that we had scheduled, or they had scheduled a long time ago, and I couldn't change. But, you know, yesterday I understand that the services were just wonderful. You know why they're wonderful? Because there's a man of God who left this life. And today, he's experiencing firsthand his faith. Beloved, it does get better. It does get better. See, we've got to realize that we have been made adequate. And because we have been made adequate, better things are waiting. Then we go on. Not only are we qualified to be partakers, we have been delivered from darkness. Verse 11 says, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love." We've been delivered. Excuse me. From the power of darkness. That word power, it means authority, jurisdiction. You know, in practical terms, there are just certain things that you have to do in the dark. You ever notice? There are certain rules that apply. Rule number one, you can't see in the dark. You know what I'm saying? Right? How many times have you gotten up at night and you think, "I need to go visit the restroom, or I need to get up and get a drink of water," and the lights are turned off and it's dark, and the thought comes to mind, "I don't need to turn on the light." And so you get out of bed and it's a dark room and you begin to walk across the room. What happens? You hurt yourself every time, don't you? You'll stump your toe on something. You'll trip on something or fall. And the reason is, you cannot see. You cannot see. Every time without fail. So you might as well just turn on the light, right? There are so many people in the world today who cannot see. You see, the darkness that this is talking about is the darkness of sin. And Satan. They're walking in darkness. In the book of Romans chapter 1 verse 28. It is a wonderful. Well, it's not a wonderful description. It is a great description of where we are in the world today. Romans 1 28 says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, and unmerciful. And does that not describe where the world is today? Why are we there? Because the world walks in darkness. And when you walk in darkness, you can't see. And here's the wonderful news for the child of God. You see, Jesus turned on the light. Jesus said that He is the light of the world. And when Jesus comes in, I feel sorry for those people. So often we get angry and we fuss and about the sinful condition of the world. And listen, I do. I hate it, the sinful condition of the world. However, I understand the sinful condition of the world. It's because they're walking in darkness. They can't see. See, the thing about being a child of God is the light has come on. And I know, I now understand the consequences of walking in darkness. I understand the consequences of sin. I can see before it happens. You know, it's just like, I know that if I jump off of this stage area, what's going to happen? I'm going down. Well, I can see it coming. There are stairs there. But if it's dark, oh, that's a whole different story. You see, I can navigate this. I see there's a step down. There's another stair. There's another stair, which it is challenging with bifocals, trust me. But I see it coming. Do you know why that I do my very best not to participate in the sin of the world? Because I see where it leads. I see what it does. Do you know why I'm not a drunkard? Yeah, Brother Doug, you're a preacher. That's not why I'm a drunkard. I'm not a drunkard because I see the lives that have been destroyed by drinking. Do you know why I'm not a drug addict? I'm not a drug addict because I've seen the life. I see. I mean, it's obvious. Why am I not an adulterer? Because Beth would kill me first. But secondly, I have seen the families that have been destroyed and the children that are being raised without mothers and fathers. And I've seen what it does. Why? Because the light has come on. When Jesus moved in, He turned on the light. I don't have to wonder. I can see where those things lead. And glory to God, I don't have to live like the world lives. You see, that's what Christians don't understand is we look at the world and say, that they look like they're having fun. No, they're not. It's a lie. It's a lie. I feel sorry for those people. Because deep down they're hurting. And they don't understand why. You see, I know that the wages of sin is death. I know that whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. I know these things because God has turned on the light. As a child of God, I don't not sin. We all have sin issues where we slip and fall, you know. But glory to God, He's opened my eyes that I can see that I don't have to live a destructive, sinful life. Isn't that good? And listen, you may be here today and you're living that destructive, sinful life. Jesus can change that. He can turn on the light where you can see. That's my prayer for you today. You see, as a child of God, we've been delivered from darkness. And then finally, we have been redeemed by His blood. Verse 14 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. That word redeemed, it means to buy back, or it's the act of buying back a slave or a captive by payment. You see, you have to understand who you are in Jesus Christ. That word redeemed, it carries the idea of of full redemption or payment in full. And as a child of God, you have been fully paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. That comes from the words of Jesus as he finished his work, redemptive work upon the cross, where he says, "It is what? Finished." You know what that means? It means paid in full. When they would put people in prison in Bible days, they'd put them in that prison and close the doors. And on the door of that prison cell, they would put the piece of paper that would state the charges against that individual. And they would leave that piece of paper there until that person had paid his debt to society. And when he had paid his debt, whatever his crime had been, they would write on that piece of paper, "Paid in full." And then they would give it to that man as he walked out of prison, so that if anyone ever questioned him about, "I thought you were in jail," or "I thought you were paying for your crime," he could show him that piece of paper and say, "It's been paid in full." Listen, when Jesus Christ hung upon the cross of Calvary, when he was beaten, when he was tortured, when he was mocked, when he wore that crown of thorns, at the end there, he said, "It is finished. Paid in full." That's what it means to be a child of God. That your sin debt has been paid. And the wonderful thing about that sin debt having been paid, it's been paid in full. You're not on the installment plan. You know, where you pay it out each month. Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ was not a down payment for your salvation. All right? When you were saved, you were sealed. John chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus said, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." You've heard it said, there are only two things in this life that is for certain. That's death and taxes. That's wrong. There's one thing that's for certain, and that is security of the believer through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because your sin has been completely purchased and paid for. And you can't get rid of that. When a debt's been paid, it's been paid. That's what it means to be a child of God, to be redeemed. It means that we've been forgiven there. In the last part of verse 14, that we have the forgiveness of our sins, from our sins. Now, forgiveness is a formal release from an obligation. Here's what you have to understand. We'll get everybody's attention for just a few moments as we're closing here. Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The wages of sin. Now, we could say, okay, the result or the payment for sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What you've got to understand is this one thing. Are you with me? Say amen if you're with me. Okay? When you sin your first sin, and does it, "Well, no, I'm not a sin." Yes, you are. The Bible says all sin comes short of the glory of God. When you sin your first sin, you went under contract to pay for that sin. Because the wages of sin is death. The wonderful part about this verse is the last half. "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord." That word "gift," the Greek word comes from the word charis, which is grace. We could even say, "For the wages of sin is death, but the grace of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord." What you've got to understand is, what Jesus is offering you today is grace, unmerited favor, that even though you don't deserve it, and you don't, even though you may think, "I'm the worst of the worst," but you're not. Even if you've done the most terrible thing, there is grace available to you. For the grace of God, the gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But you got to understand, you can't earn it. So many people are trying to earn their salvation and say, "Well, I hope I'm good enough." You're not good enough. None of us are. I, as a pastor, I'm not good enough. You, as a church member, anybody else, anywhere, we're not good enough. What do we need? We need grace. And the glory about being a child of God is you know you have received the grace of God and it doesn't depend upon you. It's wholly about God. Romans chapter 10. Here's how you get there. Verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. How do you have all this that I've been talking about? How are you made qualified? How are you delivered? How do you have redemption? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. That's the beginning. You make Jesus your Lord. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. You will be saved. Now here's what you got to get. There are so many people who are living in doubt today. I hope I'm going to heaven. I think I've done what I'm supposed to do. All right. Listen, Satan is just torturing a lot of people through doubts today. Okay. Now listen, you do need to have that time. Before I go into this, you do need to have that time where you know you committed your life to Jesus Christ. All right? You do need to have that time when you committed your life to Jesus Christ. However, you've got to understand grace. That if you have that time where you have confessed Jesus Christ to be your Savior, where you, in faith, believing that He's the Son of God, paid your sin debt upon the cross of Calvary, was buried and rose from the grave. You have that belief. You will be saved. Okay? Now grab hold of this. Well, Brother Doug, I mean, is that all? I mean, there's got to be more to it than that. There's not. If there was, you couldn't do it. Right? Here's the good news. Here's how you know. Are you ready? I'm going to lay every doubt aside. If you can go back to that point in your life where you gave your life to Jesus Christ, if you can do that, then you can rest assured that Jesus Christ has never failed to do what He said He'd do. Never. And if Jesus Christ says, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Then, beloved, you can take that to the bank. The good news is Satan's going to point a finger and he's going to say, oh, you know, you don't deserve to go to heaven. You point a finger right back at him and say, you're right, I don't deserve to go to heaven. But glory to God for the blood of Jesus Christ that has cleansed me and freed me and given me forgiveness from the guilt of my sin. Glory to God, we have a lot to smile about. Jesus will always do what He says He'll do. For with the heart, verse 10. For with this tells you how it works. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. That's how it works. Very simple. It's so simple a child can understand it. You know, oftentimes we worry, you know, does that child really get it when they come to be saved? And we think, boy, does that child really get it? The thing is, a child gets it a lot quicker than the adult does. Because they understand trust. They understand that with heart, one believes to righteousness. I want to leave you with one more scripture. John chapter 11, verse 25. It's a woman at the well. And she come to Jesus, and it's that Samaritan woman, and Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And he asked her the question, do you believe this? And I ask you that question today. Are you a child of God? Have you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, confessing Him to be your Lord and Savior? If you've not, you're not saved, okay? We need to take care of that today so you'll know the joy of salvation. If you are a child of God, and you know you've placed your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, you can go back to that time, you know you've done it, well, glory to God, we can just all rejoice. Because, beloved, Jesus is going to do what He said He'd do, and that is He'll save you, period. My challenge today, let's start living it, okay? I'm talking about living the joy. 2019, let's live the joy. We have all these wonderful gifts through Jesus Christ, okay? Let's let the world see it. Instead of when the world looks like, you know, the world oftentimes looks at us and they think, boy, they got the plague. I don't want what they got. No. If that's what Christianity is, I don't want that. They're the most miserable people. No. Let's consider what we have in Jesus Christ. Let's consider the joy. Let's consider the eternal consequences of who we are in Jesus Christ. And let's let the world know that it is good to be a child of God. It does pay to serve Jesus. It pays every day. That's the challenge. Put it on your face. Put it in your walk. Put it on your lips. Let the world know the glorious Savior that you know. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the day. And we pray now, Lord, as we come to this invitation, that Lord, for those who have never made a profession of faith, I pray that today will be the day that they repent and turn from their sin and whatever they're trusting in this life and turn 100% wholly to You. Father, I pray that You would draw them, convict them of sin, let them know Your love, that, Lord, they will make the commitment today. And I pray that we as Your children, Lord, we'll repent of our... Sometimes we do feel sorry for ourselves and we're not very fun to be around and not very chipper to be around. Lord, forgive us of our negative attitudes. Help us to rejoice in the spiritual blessings that You have blessed us with. Help us to hold firmly to our faith in Jesus Christ and to rejoice in the wonderful Savior that we know. Father, I pray Your will be done in this invitation. You know those who are hurting. You know those who need help. You know those who are downcast and need lifting up. Move freely in this service today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.